The year?
1853.
The place?
London. Characters?
Me, that is Primus, and my mother?
Cordelia.
The mater's an actress, of the top rank, so I'm told, though the last time she trod the boards was over 20 years ago. Since then, she says, she's been looking for the right script.
Also, darling, I'm looking for the right husband.
Ah, yes, the right husband. What a notion, Nespa! Someone somewhere out there is waiting to become my step-pater. So now, read on.
Bookcases by Martin Wade. With Michael Cochrane as Primus, Elizabeth Spriggs as Edith, Maggie Steed as Cordelia, and David Horovitch as Gerald. Episode 1. Bronte Country.
6 o'clock, Gerald.
Yes, the end of another day, the end of another week.
I hope you think it has been a good week, General.
Oh, yes, Mother.
Are there things you've left undone, perhaps, which you ought to have done? You should you not, have arranged for a reprint of The Slaughter of the Innocents, specially told for young people by Mrs. G. Reynolds.
Yes, Mother.
And as regards things you have done, which perhaps you ought not to have done...
Yes, Mother.
I could mention the bonus you gave to Mr. Temperley.
Yes, Mother, you could. Now, Mother, what are you planning to do tomorrow?
I'm going to write to Mr. Temperley and urge him, as a Christian, to give the bonus back.
Oh. Well, I think I'll pay a visit to the zoo.
Look! Over by that tree, Primus. The gentleman with the very large beard.
Hmm?
Wouldn't you like him for a step-pater, darling?
Not much, though he might be useful as a rug. I think I prefer that fellow there. Him, with the pink cravat.
Yes, darling, lovely, lovely. But him with the pink cravat has a pink woman training after him and 3 pink children.
Oh, he's nice. With the cap and the tray of buns.
Primus, I am not marrying a zookeeper.
And the mater then embarks upon a monologue with reference to times being hard, but not that hard, the importance of dignity and self-respect, and the need for her to marry well, not only to provide herself with comfort and security, but also in order to set me up in a good job, etc., etc. And as she warms to her theme, she wields her parasol with grand gestures worthy of her profession. And malheureusement...
You see, darling...
Ouch! She digs the sharp end of her parasol...
The kind of husband we're looking for...
...into the blameless shin of a passerby.
Ouch!
Twice.
Oh, heavens! Oh, what have I done?
You've dug the sharp end of your parasol into the blameless shin of a passerby. Twice.
It's, nothing.
Blood! Blood! I've drawn blood.
Oh, surely not.
Take a seat, sir, please. Roll up your trouser leg, sir.
What? No, no, madam.
But madam is not to be denied. The trouser leg is rolled up, and madam's silk scarf, jauntily emblazoned with a cupid motif, is tied around the wound.
Heavens, how can you forgive me? My name is Cordelia, by the way, and this is my dear, dear son, Primus.
Good afternoon.
Salut.
I had hoped for a Secundus and a Tertius, but alas, my dear, dear husband died before he could accomplish the necessaries.
My sincere condolences to you.
Thanks. What is your name, sir?
Spavin, Gerald.
Profession?
Publishing.
Publishing? How wonderful. That's something you've always been interested in, isn't it, Primus?
Is it, Mother?
And to which firm are you attached, sir?
Spavin and Spavin of Paternoster Row, specialists in Bibles and Bible commentary, doctrinal exegesis, prayer books, hymn books, lives of the martyrs...
And their gory but stimulating deaths, no doubt. May I ask what your position is within the firm?
I am managing director.
Managing director? Did you hear that, Primus?
Yes, Mother.
Though I confess I am not quite used to the title yet. Father died a mere 6 months ago.
My sincere condolences, darling.
Thank you.
Tell me, is there by chance a Mrs. Spavin?
There is.
Ah.
She shows great interest in the firm, despite her age and frailty, dear Mother.
Ah, yes, dear, dear, dear Mother, indeed.
The mater doesn't really need me on these occasions, so I've gone off to watch the apes. Splendid creatures. I wonder if by any strange chance them and us might be related.
Sir. Sir.
Yes?
Sir, please forgive me for intruding upon your private thoughts, but I require assistance. Can you hear me, by the way?
Just about. She wears an adult's phisog on a 10-year-old's body. Big nose, glasses, a twitch in one eye. Her bag, which is several sizes too large for her, is decorated with a brass monogram composed of the letters C.B.
I fear I am an exceedingly timid creature, sir, so I cannot speak any louder. In truth, I suffer from such anxiety and self-consciousness when going among strangers that it is a wonder that I ever managed to talk at all.
Oh, you're doing very nicely. Now, don't fret.
This nervous condition of mine, I might add, results in neuralgic headaches of the most obnoxious sort.
Hard lies.
And they are particularly acute at both the vernal and autumnal equinoxes. Also, sir, I am frequently ground to the dust with deep dejection of spirits. Sorrow and pain are my lot, sir.
Quel dommage!
But I bear my suffering with fortitude and endeavour to school myself against anticipating even the tiniest ray of happiness in this world.
Let's pray that you don't win the lottery. You'll die of shock. Now, how can I help?
Well, sir, I have a great longing to see a camel.
Camel? Is that one hump or two?
How is your leg, Mr. Spaden?
As good as new.
I have so enjoyed our conversation, have you?
Oh, hugely.
Our minds are very closely attuned to each other, do you not think?
Yes, yes, I do.
We have so much in common, so much to share. Is yours a steady income, darling?
Pretty steady.
Your work must give you great pleasure.
Yes.
On account of your endeavours, Mr. Spaven, the populace receives divine revelation and the key to righteousness, and always, I'm sure, in an extremely attractive binding.
Are you a believer, madam?
Me? Heavens, yes. I believe in pretty well everything. Now, darling, we must make sure that we meet again very, very soon.
Can't work. I am in love. In love? Me? I can scarcely believe it's possible. Me, Gerald Spaven of Spaven and Spaven, whose whole life has been, well, dull, for want of a better word. I have the mark still where she drove in the point of the parasol. And I have her silk headscarf with which she so tenderly dressed the wound. I have told Mother nothing. I will have to tell her eventually, I suppose. I mean, I'll be required to make some allusion to Cordelia if I invite her here for tea. Cordelia. Cordelia. And her dear, dear son, Primus. Yes, him I shall learn to love.
Yes, lady?
The high road, East Finchley, please, darling.
Do you think you'll marry him, Mother?
Who, darling? The driver?
No, Gerald Spaven, of Spaven and Spaven.
I might.
He's horribly humdrum.
He is, but he does run a profitable business, and you could join it. You don't have a wealth of experience in the field of publishing.
I don't have experience in any field.
But that's your strength, you see. You'd come to Spaven and Spaven fresh and uncorseted.
Throbbing with vitality.
Suppurating with fresh ideas.
No more books on religion. That would be my first fresh idea.
Yes. Of course, Mr. Spaven might not care for that particular fresh idea, nor might his mother, but they'd have to give it serious consideration. Do you think you would like to join the firm, darling?
Possibly. Spaven, Spaven, and Primus. Goats and monkeys, it's busy, ain't it? You know what I'd do if I was in charge of London's transport?
What, darling?
I'd build an electric-powered railway underneath the ground.
Heavens, darling! That is a fresh idea.
Oh, bloody hell! Bloody traffic!
Oh, look, look! It's her! I'm sure it is.
Who, darling?
The midget I met at the zoo. Driver, stop the carriage.
It is bloody stopped.
That office there, number 65.
publishers, I think, darling.
Yes. And in the window, a picture of... who does it say?
Cara Bell, author of Jane Eyre. Well. Apparently everyone's read Jane Eyre. Have you read Jane Eyre, darling?
No.
Nor have I. Was Cara Bell nice?
No, she was not. She was a pain in the cods.
Spoilt by fame, the silly woman. Now, they could never say that of me. Of course, she might be useful to you, darling.
In my new career, you mean? Yes. Cara Bell, England's sensational...
but spoiled...
best-selling author, signs up for Spavin, and Primus. Very nice. I'll track her down.
Sir, I have a publisher.
Of course you do.
He is a man of good faith and integrity.
And I, madam, am a man of great charm and absolutely enormous energy. And I know all that there is to be known about formats and niches and readership profiles and marketing and promotion. Par exemple, your name.
My name?
Cara Bell. I'd have changed that straight away if you'd been with me. You want something that says romance, excitement, danger.
It isn't my real name.
Oh, is it not?
My sisters and I, we all of us adopted nom de plume when we took our first steps in the literary world. My real name is Charlotte Bronte.
Charlotte Bronte! Oh, yes, much better. It has a real touch of the je ne sais quoi, n'est-ce pas? Now, you stick with that. You have sisters, you say? And they write, you say?
No, sir. They no longer toil in this vale of tears.
Writer's block, eh?
Sir, they are dead. My brother, too, is dead. My sister's dog is dead.
Hard lines. What happened? A driving accident? A meteor? Now tell me, if you will, where is Bronte country? Exactement.
Mother?
Yes, Gerald?
I'm not coming into the office tomorrow.
You're not? Why not? Are you planning to be ill?
No, Mother. I'm planning to go on a train.
A train? Whither?
Northwards, I think.
Why?
Because I've been asked to. By a woman I met at the zoo.
At the zoo?
Yes, Mother. In front of the elephant house.
Gerald?
Yes, Mother?
I think you are ill.
I've never been to Yorkshire.
Never.
There are moors and so forth, I believe. Are we going tramping?
No, Mr. Spavin. Or shall I call you Gerald? We're going on business.
Are we?
Book business, darling.
Oh, dear.
You may not have realised, Gerald, that my son has connections with the literary world.
No, I was unaware of that.
I am, for example, a close personal friend of the eminent novelist Cara Bell, a.k.a. Miss Charlotte Bronte.
Author of Jane Eyre. Have you read it, darling?
No.
She herself has a contractual arrangement with her present publishers, Smith Elder and Company, from which she is unable to extricate herself. However, for her two sisters...
Acton and Eris Bell...
a.k.a. Anne and Emily...
the situation is somewhat different.
You see, Gerald, a.k.a. Mr. Spavin, they are dead. They have abandoned all interest in publishers and contracts. And yet, sir, from what I understand, they will have left something of a legacy behind them, for they all were writers since they first clutched a quill. And even the degenerate Bronte brother, whose chief interest lay in destroying his brain with laudanum and Yorkshire bitter, even he, it seems, found a lucid moment or two in which to jot down a poetic effusion or make a start on a novel. Now, that home of theirs, I'll wager, is a treasure trove of Bronteana. Poetry, prose, letters, diaries. Let Spavin and Spavin publish that lot, sir, and it will be the publishing coup of the century.
Oh, booger in hell! Booger in weather! Whoa, bastard!
But Primus...
Yes, Gerald?
I must remind you, Spavin and Spavin doesn't publish that sort of thing. Never has done.
We know that, darling. But if there was a high moral tone to it, if it was gorgeously pious and godly and well-priced...
if it sold in huge quantities...
what possible objection could there be?
Oh, Gerald. Primus is such a fine, splendidly equipped boy.
Throbbing with vitality.
Suppurating with fresh ideas.
Oh, dear.
He's always wanted to work in publishing. Always.
Ready! Give us all guitars and walk to rest.
Sorry, darling.
To us. He's on go up to ill.
Yeah. What you urge me may have much to recommend it. Possibly. But you see, the firm has a solid base and a solid reputation. It has a tradition of religious publishing which goes back four generations.
Time for a change, perhaps.
And also, you see, I have to think about my mother.
Oh, do you? Why?
She's a bully and a tyrant.
Oh, darlings, what a gorgeous view.
Moors, more moors, grey houses, the Black Bull Inn, rain. Oh, yes, it's all here.
At last, we reach the parsonage at Haworth, are admitted into the study, and there meet the father of the Bronte brood, the Reverend Patrick.
Good afternoon.
I beg your pardon?
Good afternoon.
The white stock he wears is pulled over his mouth. He says, I think he says, that he wears it in order to protect himself from consumption, cholera,
rubella, black water fever, botulism, typhoid,
scarlatina, encephalitis, all of which apparently are virulent in this hellhole of Tynorth.
Mr. Bronte, darling, I do assure you, we all come with a clean bill of health.
Oh, yes.
And at last, he is persuaded to lower his stock.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I am very ancient. I am half blind. I am exceeding frail.
You have survived, sir. You have outlived almost all your children. Bravo! Now, sir, thee and me must get to work.
Your son indeed is a bundle of energy.
He is. He is. Oh, Gerald, I am so glad you love the boy. For by loving him, you know, you show your love for me. Inspiring places, churchyards. Don't you think?
Yes, though I wouldn't like to be in one forever.
I had some gorgeous lines about death in a play I was in with dear old Binky Burford. Death is... Anyway, do you feel inspired enough to kiss me, darling?
What? Oh, yes. Yes.
Gorgeous, darling.
Oh, my dearest, my sweetest, my soul's other half. I'm so incredibly, well, happy, I suppose, for want of a better word. Happy. It never happened to me before. There's just one difficulty.
Yes, darling?
It isn't Primus as such. It's Primus and publishing. Would he not like to consider some other career path? Or try his luck, perhaps, with publishers more suited to his specific areas of interest?
I don't think so, darling. Kiss me again.
Your daughter agreed, sir, that I might look through the whole jolly lot, sir. Where are these boxes you spoke of, sir?
Beneath the bed.
Beneath the bed, ah. She and I are well acquainted. She knows me as a man of good faith and integrity. Nothing inferior or in any way damaging to the reputation of your offspring will be published. And, of course, your daughter will be consulted at every stage of the process. Ah! Success! This one's marked B.
B for Branwell. Poor dear Branwell. Open it.
Morning, sleep. Afternoon, get rat-arsed. Well, another box. This one's marked E.
For Emily.
And this one bears the letter A.
For Anne.
And this one's C for Charlotte. Busy beavers, the Brontes. One more. Marked X. X?
Xmas decorations.
There is something else to consider, of course. Aside from these manuscripts and the solemn duty we have to publish what is of true worth...
Do you mean my own poems, sir?
No, sir. Heritage.
Heritage?
Yes. How about the parsonage as a museum cum Bronte archive and research centre, with you as chief curator and living exhibit?
Oh.
Aye. Well, think on't.
It's night. I'm in bed. I'm in Emily's room. We're staying over, you see. I'd hoped I might grab everything and go, but there's too much. Needs a thorough, rigorous sorting through. So, the stuff I can read on this pile, and what can't be deciphered except with a microscope, that stays behind. Very tired. Been a long day. Oh, at the top of Emily's box, I found a hefty manuscript entitled Wuthering Heights 2, The Perverted Passion Continues. That sounds promising, eh? Blasted wind. Blasted tree. Blasted window.
Ooh! Let me in. Let me in.
Ooh! Who are you?
Emily Jane Bronte. I've been dead these 20 years.
Liar. It's more like 5.
Well, it feels like 20, I tell you. Ooh! Let me in.
No.
No?
No. Don't believe in ghosts.
Step one. Cock the pistol. Step two.
Morning, Mr. Bronte.
Directed towards the ceiling.
Oh, dear.
Step three.
No, no, stop.
It is not pointed at you, sir. Wherever you are.
Indeed, it is not. But you are holding the pistol the wrong way round. It's pointed at yourself.
Good Lord. Oh, there. Is that any better?
Wait a minute. Yes, that's better.
Fire!
Finished?
Yes, yes. Oh, and thank you for your help. I do this every morning, you know.
Then I am surprised you have lived so long. Why do you do it?
It helps to foster my reputation for eccentricity. Sir, I have received a letter. Would you be so kind as to read it for me?
Certainly. Dear Papa, I have left London, am now in Manchester staying with Mrs. Gaskell, and if all be well, I intend to reciprocate her kind hospitality.
Come in, Charlotte.
And I have brought Mrs. Gaskell with me.
Well, then, she must come in, too.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning, and to you, madam.
Good morning, good morning.
Now, Charlotte, a letter has arrived, and I'm having it read to me by this kind gentleman whose name I have forgotten.
I think that letter is my own, Papa.
No, no, no. You'll find it's addressed to me.
Papa, Mrs. Gaskell here is a dear friend of mine.
Also author of Mary Barton and Cranford.
Never heard of them.
Might I ask, sir?
Spavin, Gerald Spavin of Spavin and Spavin.
Ah, good morning, sir.
Spavin and Spavin.
Publishers of religion.
Yes, I have some of your books on my shelves. Where are my shelves?
I believe, Miss Bronte, that an acquaintance of mine is well known to you. A young fellow by the name of Primus.
Sir, I know him, but not well.
Oh, I think you'll find you do, my dear. He is a friend of long standing.
No, Papa.
You regard him as a man of good faith and integrity.
No, Papa.
And it is with your permission, Charlotte, that he has been sorting through the boxes in my bedroom.
The boxes in your bedroom? Oh, Papa!
Oh, dear.
Primus. Yes?
Primus, you lied to me.
And you lied to my dear friend, Miss Bronte.
And you lied to me, sir.
Oh, morning, everyone. Lied? Surely not.
Liar. Knave. The name's Mrs. Gaskell, by the way. Novelist. Author of Mary Barton and Cranford.
Never heard of them.
To return, you are a liar and a knave. You gained Miss Bronte's trust by deception. You cheated your way into this house in order to make money out of both her and her sorry siblings.
Now, that's quite unfair.
Liar, knave, step one, cock the pistol.
Hang on.
Say your prayers, miscreant.
God almighty.
That's enough. Mr. Bronte.
Sir.
Am I pointed in the right direction?
No, sir.
Then point me.
Gerald. Sir. Mr. Spavin. Think of Mother.
Give me the gun.
Help! Oh, blasted window! Help!
village has been purged of the vile intruders, and poor Miss Bronte, afflicted with a dreadful headache as a result of the morning's events, has gone to her room. I have promised her that I will restore the contents of the boxes, put everything back in its proper place. Good gracious. You would not believe the wealth of material. Aside, I mean, from the juvenilia and other creative work, there are letters and more letters. There are diary papers. There is enough stuff here to yield a fine, fat volume of biography. And with the minimum of effort, I'd imagine. Well, Mrs. Gaskell, why not? I'll keep that, and 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 that.
The shot missed me.
Oh, my little chick.
But it broke the rusted window catch. The window flew open
and Primus flew out.
Oh, my angel!
Mrs. Gaskell then took aim from the window, though, of course, I did my very best to prevent her.
Oh, courageous Gerald.
This time, she hit me.
Oh, heavens!
Well, that is, she hit the thick manuscript which I had snatched up before I made my getaway and stuffed inside my shirt. Wuthering Heights 2, The Perverted Passion Continues. It saved my life.
Oh, gorgeous, darling.
And then, Cordelia, there was a chase with Mrs. Gaskell in pursuit of Primus and me in pursuit of Mrs. Gaskell. But she gave up when she reached the moors, for it was very wet and there were treacherous bogs.
And I fell in one, naturellement.
Oh, my lambkin.
And I rescued him.
Oh, fearless Gerald.
My life was saved a second time. Sir, how can I ever repay you?
Well, since you ask, Primus, you might like to have another very serious think concerning your future career.
Sir, Mr. Spavin, Gerald, I have already done so, and I tell you I am more determined than ever to make a success of publishing.
Oh.
I shall send my suit to the cleaners and start all over again.
Rambo! By the by, whatever happened to Perverted Passion Part 2?
Ah, it also went into the bog, and it didn't come out.
That was episode 1 of Bookcases by Martin Wade. Primus was played by Michael Cochrane, Cordelia by Maggie Steed, Gerald by David Horovitch, and Edith by Elizabeth Spriggs. Charlotte Bronte was played by Sarah Jane Holm, The Reverend Bronte by Geoffrey Whitehead, Mrs. Gaskell by Frances Jeter, and The Drivers by David Antrobus. Bookcases was directed by Cherry Cookson.